Volume 24. I'm just checking. Can somebody give me a confirmation? March 25th, 1928. Is that where we're starting?
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. How the knowledges are many steps that the divine will has taken in order to return into the midst of creatures. How these steps bring life, light, and sanctity, sighs of Jesus for them to be made known. While following the divine fiat in order to accompany its acts, my poor mind kept thinking about the many truths that my beloved Jesus had told me on the divine will, and with how much love and interest he had manifested them to me. So I was thinking to myself, the first fruits he told me seemed flashes of light that unleashed an endless light from within them. Then little by little, no longer flashes, but fountains of light, and my poor soul would remain under the continuous jet of these fountains of light. Finally, they seemed to be seas of light, of truths, in which I would remain so submerged that my little capacity would not be able to take everything and would leave many truths in that very sea in which I felt immersed. But it was not given to me to restrict all of that endless light within myself that, converting into words, manifested to me the harmony, the beauty, the power of the Supreme Will. And now it seems to me that I am in the light, but the light does not speak, and though I drink seas of light, I am unable to say anything. Now while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus moved in my interior, and all love told me, my daughter, you must know that as man withdrew from our will, our paternal goodness withdrew its operating life from the midst of creatures. This is why they have been able to say very little about it, because the sea of the operating life of my divine will was not flowing in them as life, because they themselves ungratefully had rejected it. And out of our highest goodness, we left to them the good of being able to follow the orders of our will, not the life in which they could hope for their salvation, because without it, there is neither salvation nor sanctity. But our paternal goodness, our will, and our love, desired, longed for, strongly yearned for its return as operating life into the midst of creatures. We saw that they could not reach the perfect purpose of creation, nor form the image wanted by us, completely in our likeness, just as we created them, without the operating life of our fiat, because our fiat is the prime act of the creature, and if it is missing in her, she remains disordered, counterfeit, because she lacks the prime act of her existence. Now, you must know that after many centuries of hidden sighs, our Supreme Being gushed out more intensely with love, more than in the very creation and redemption. As our love, gushing out, overflowed from us, we felt the need of love to take the first steps toward the creature. So, as I began to manifest to you the first truths about the divine will, I pushed it strongly to take the first steps into the midst of creatures, and I centralize these steps in you by means of its knowledges. And as I saw that you would place your steps in those of the divine fiat, I rejoiced, I made feast, and manifesting to you more truths about it, I would push it to take yet more steps. Therefore, as many truths as I have told you about my will, so many are the steps that I made my fiat take in order to make it return as operating life into the midst of creatures. This is why I have told you so many of them, that one can say that heaven and earth are filled with the steps of the knowledges about my will, and uniting together, they form the sea of light in your soul that wants to overflow from within you to make its way into the midst of creatures. These steps will be multiplied according to how much the truths about my will be recognized, because I never manifest a truth if not when I want to give it as gift, giving the gift and the good it contains. Therefore, until my divine will is known with all of its knowledges, its steps will be hampered and the good it wants to do to creatures suspended. If you knew how painful it is to be able to do good, placing oneself in the act of doing it and having to keep it suspended because it is not known, waiting and waiting and longing for it to be made known so as to be relieved of the weight of the good that one wants to give. Oh, how you would listen, how you would hasten to make known all the steps of my fiat. More so, since they are steps that will bring not remedies, helps, or medicines, but fullness of life, of light, of sanctity, and totality of goods. And my love, gushing out and flooding the whole world, will restore the order of creation and the dominion of my will in the midst of the human family. After this, my sweet Jesus made himself seen with many rays of light coming in within his divine heart. Each knowledge about the divine will was impressed at the point from which the rays started, in such a way as to form the most beautiful crown of light around that divine heart. And my beloved Jesus added, "My daughter, look, what a beautiful crown of glory and of light my divine heart possesses. A more beautiful and refulgent crown it could not possess. These rays are all the knowledges about my will. However, these rays are hampered. They cannot extend because its knowledges are not yet known. Therefore, they cannot extend and expand so as to fill the whole earth with light. It happens as it would to the sun if its rays that start from the center of its sphere were forced to remain in the air without being able to extend so as to touch the earth and invest it with its light and heat. Unable to extend its rays, the sun would not be able to give the effects that its light contains, nor could the earth receive them. There would be a certain distance between the earth and the light of the sun, and this distance would prevent the sun from doing good to the earth, and the earth would be sterile and infertile. Such are the knowledges about my fiat. If they are not made known, its rays cannot extend and take souls as though in their hands, so as to warm them. Remove from them the torpor of the human will. Mold them anew. Transform them again in the life that my fiat wants to infuse in them. Because these knowledges are and contain the new creation of transforming the creature as he came out of our creative hands."
April 1st, 1928. Necessity of the test. What the test will be for the children of the divine kingdom. One who lives in the divine will offers royal acts to God. The long story of the divine will. Example. My abandonment in the divine will is continuous, but while I was all abandoned in it, I was thinking to myself, what might be the proof that Jesus will want from those who will live in the kingdom of the divine will? If Jesus wants a proof of loyalty from everyone, in order to confirm the state to which he calls them, and to be sure of being able to entrust to the creature the goods he wants to give her, much more will he require this proof from the children of his kingdom, which will be the most sublime state that can exist. But while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, indeed, there is no certainty without a test. And when the soul passes the test, she receives the confirmation of my designs, and everything that is necessary to her and befits her in order to carry out the state to which she has been called by me. This is why I wanted to test Adam, to confirm his happy state and his right of kingship over the whole creation. And since he was not faithful in the test, by justice he could not receive the confirmation of the goods which his Creator wanted to give him. In fact, through the test, man acquires the seal of faithfulness, which gives him the right to receive the goods that God had established to give him in the state to which his soul had been called by him. It can be said that one who is not tested has no value, neither before God, nor before men, nor before himself. God cannot trust a man without a test, and man himself does not know what strength he possesses. If Adam had passed the test, all human generations would have been confirmed in his state of happiness and of royalty. In the same way, I myself, loving these children of my divine will, with a love all special, wanted to go through the test for all in my humanity, reserving for them the one test of never allowing them to do their will, but only and always my will, so as to reconfirm for them all the goods needed in order to live in the kingdom of my divine fiat. With this, I closed all exit doors for them. I anointed them with an invincible strength in such a way that nothing else will be able to enter the very high fences of my kingdom. In fact, when I command that something should not be done, it is a door that I leave through which the human will can make its exit. It is an opportunity that the creature always has by which she can go out of my will. But when I say, from here there is no exit, all doors remain closed. Her weakness is fortified, and the only thing that is left to her is the decision to enter, never to go out again, or not to enter at all. Therefore, in order to live in the kingdom of my will, there will only be the decision. The decision will carry the accomplished act. Am I not doing the same with you? Do I not cry out constantly from the depth of your heart, nothing dare enter but my will alone? As center of life, with its omnipotent strength, with its dazzling light, my will keeps everything outside of you, and eclipsing everything, it makes its prime motion of life flow in all of your acts, and it dominates and reigns as queen. After this, I was following the acts of the divine will in all of creation to bring them as homage to my Creator. A motion of life was flowing in all created things, which reunited them all and moved everything. I was surprised, and my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, this motion of life in all creation is my will, which moves everything and holds all things as though in its hand of life. How long is its motion? And while being multiple, it is one. Therefore, the story of my will is long, and your work in composing its story becomes extremely long. And as much as you would like to shorten your speech, it is difficult for you to do it, because its motion, which moves everything continuously, has so much to say about what it has done in its very long history, that as much as it has already said, it seems it has said nothing. And since all motions, all lives, and all fields are its own, it has many ways to narrate its long story. You will be the narrator and the bearer of the story of an eternal will, which, while telling you its story, involves you within it, to give you the life of its acts and to communicate to you, as much as it is possible for you, its motion and the goods it contains. Therefore, you must know that one who lives in my will offers royal acts to the Eternal Majesty, acts which can be found only in the divine royal palace of my will. When the creature comes before us with the royal acts that our will does in all creation, only then do we feel really honored by her. These are divine acts, worthy of our majesty. On the other hand, one who does not live in our will, as much good as he might do, offers us only human acts, not divine, acts which are inferior to us, because the royal act of our divine fiat does not flow in them. It happens as to a king who is served by a page boy of his with all the things which are in his royal palace. Even though they are his own things, the king feels honored because if he drinks, he drinks of his pure water from golden vases, clear and clean. If he eats food worthy of himself, which is served to him in silver platters. If he clothes himself, he has brought royal garments, which befit him as king. The king feels all pleased and satisfied, because he is served with the royal things that belong to him. On the other hand, there is another page boy who serves the king, but when the king wants to drink, he goes to his miserable home, takes his turbid water, and brings it in vases of clay, not well cleaned. If the king wants to eat, he fetches his crude food, and in disgusting trays. If the king wants to clothe himself, he brings him unadorned garments, unworthy of a king. The king is neither pleased nor honored in being served by this page boy. Rather, he remains with a pain in his heart and says, "How can this be? I have my own royal things, and this one dares to serve me with the miserable things of his own house." The first page boy is one who lives in my will. The second is one who lives in the human will. What a great difference between the two.
The bottom of the next to last page, Jesus tells us that you must know. And when we hear that, we want to make sure we pay attention to what he's saying. He says, "Therefore, you must know that one who lives in my will offers royal acts to the Eternal Majesty, acts that can be found only in the divine royal palace of my will. When the creature comes before us with the royal acts that our will does in the creation, only then do we feel truly honored by her. These are divine acts worthy of her majesty. On the other hand, one who does not live in our will, as much good as he might do, offers us always human acts, not divine, acts that are inferior to us because the royal act of our divine fiat does not flow in them. That's so, and when he says we must know, that should be always in the forefront of our awareness, that is, we were doing not good acts, we have to remember to include them in the divine will. Say, this isn't, I'm doing this good act in the divine will. And you're going to be doing a lot of good acts, so you have to keep remembering to say that to Jesus. And so remind yourself, too, that these acts are being done in the divine will. And it makes us, brings us closer to being divine will completely. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon. April 4th, 1928. How in God, the Word is everything. Knowledge is the bearer of the divine act and the possession of divine goods for creatures. Care that Jesus prescribed. I was doing my round in the divine fiat, and many things about the supreme volition wandered through my mind. So I thought to myself, how can it be that if the knowledges about this divine will become known to creatures, its kingdom can come? If he did so much for the coming of the kingdom of redemption, the mere knowing was not enough, but he operated, suffered, died, performed miracles. Will the knowledges alone be enough for the kingdom of the divine fiat, which is greater than redemption? But while I was thinking of this, my lovable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, in order to form the smallest thing, creatures need works, steps, and raw materials. But God, your Jesus, does not need anything to create and form the greatest works in the entire universe. For us, the Word is everything. Was the whole universe not created with the Word alone? And in order for man to enjoy all of this universe, it was enough to know it. There are the ways of our wisdom in order to give. We make use of the Word, and in order to receive, man makes use of knowing what we have said and done with our Word. In fact, if a people does not know all the varieties of plants that are spread throughout the whole earth, it does not enjoy, nor is it the possessor of the fruits of those plants. Because in our Word, there is not only the creative strength, but united with it, there is also the communicative strength, that is, the strength to communicate to creatures what we have said and done. But if they do not know it, nothing is given to them. What did man add in order to enjoy the light of the sun and receive its effects? Nothing. Nor did he add anything to the water he drinks, to the fire that warms him, and to many other things created by me. However, he needed to know them, otherwise it would have been for man as if they did not exist. Knowledge is the bearer of the life of our act and of the possession of our goods for creatures. So the knowledges about my will have the virtue of forming its kingdom in the midst, because such has been our purpose in manifesting them. And if in redemption I wanted to descend from heaven to take on human flesh, it was because I wanted to descend into all human acts to reorder them. More so, since Adam had withdrawn from our divine will to content his humanity, and with this he disordered himself completely, he lost his state of origin
and I had to follow the same path, descend into a humanity so as to reorder him anew, and everything I did in it was to serve as remedy, medicine, example, mirror, light, to be able to put decayed humanity in order. Now, having done all that was necessary and still more, so much so that I had nothing else to do, I did everything, and I did it as God, with surprising means and with invisible love in order to reorder this decayed humanity. And man cannot say, Jesus has not done this to cure us, reorder us, and place us in safety. Everything I did in my humanity was nothing but the preparation and the cures I prescribed so that the human family might recover to return once again into the order of my divine will. So after about 2,000 years of cure, it is just and decorous for us and for man that he no longer be sick, but that he be healthy again, so as to enter into the kingdom of our will. And this is why the knowledges about it were needed, so that our creative word that speaks and creates, speaks and communicates, speaks and transforms, speaks and wins, might speak and make new horizons, new suns rise for as many knowledges as it manifests, in such a way as to form so many sweet enchantments that amazed the creature will be conquered and invested by the light of my eternal will. In fact, nothing else is needed for its kingdom to come but the two wills kissing each other, one dissolving within the other, my will to give and the human will to receive. Therefore, just as my word was enough to create the universe, so it will be enough to form the kingdom of my fiat. But it is necessary that the words I have spoken, the knowledges I have manifested, known, to be able to communicate the good that my creative word contains. This is why I insist so much that the knowledges about my will, the purpose for which I manifested them, be known, to be able to realize the kingdom that I so yearn to give to creatures, and I will overwhelm heaven and earth to obtain the intent.
April 6, 1928. How the soul can place herself in the divine unity. Example of the sun, the repeater of the creator, how God gives sip by sip. Necessity for the knowledges to make their way. I was thinking about the divine fiat in order to unite myself to its unity, to be able to make up for what that unity of wills that is lacking between creator and creature. So I thought to myself, can I reach such extent in being able to penetrate into the unity of my creator? And Jesus, moving my interior, told me, my daughter, when the soul places herself in the unity of my will, it is as if she placed herself in the sphere of the sun. Look at the sun. It is one. From the height of its sphere, it does one single act, but the light that descends down to the bottom embraces the whole earth, and from the effects of its light, it produces multiple and innumerable acts. Almost for each thing, for each plant, it invests it and gives it its embrace of light and says to it, what do you want, sweetness? I'll give it to you. And you, what do you want? Heat? I will give it to you. And you, Do you want fragrance? I will give it to you as well. Almost for each thing, the light pours the whole of itself out, and it gives to it what befits its nature in order to form its life and grow according to the order created by God. Now, why all this? Because that sphere contains so much light, and all the seeds and effects of all things and plants that are spread over the face of the earth. Now, this is the symbol of the soul who wants to live in the unity of our will. She rises into the sphere of the sun of the eternal fiat that contains so much light that no one can escape it, and possesses all the seeds of the lives of creatures. Its light goes about investing and molding everyone, and prays that each one may receive the life, the beauty, the sanctity wanted by their Creator. And the soul from that sphere becomes of all and gives herself to all. And she repeats our act, which is one, but that one act has the virtue of doing everything and of giving itself to all, as if each one had his one disposal and it were one's own. In fact, in us, unity is nature, and in the soul it can be grace. And we feel bilocated in the creature who lives in our unity. And, oh, how we delight in seeing the littleness of the creature ascending, descending, expanding within our unity to be the repeater of her Creator. After this, I was thinking about how blessed Jesus would make the kingdom of his will come. How the creature embrace altogether so many knowledges about it, and almost all at once, good so great, divine manners, beauty, and sanctity that contain the reflections of the likeness of her Creator. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, by her nature, the creature cannot receive a great good, a light that has no boundaries, altogether, but she must take it sip by sip, waiting to swallow the first sip, to then have another one. And if she wanted to take everything together, poor one, she would be drowned and would be forced to put out what she cannot contain. Waiting to first digest the little she had taken, for it to flow like blood in her veins, and for the vital humor to spread within her whole person, to then dispose herself to take another sip. Has this not been the order I have had with you, manifesting to you what regarded my eternal fiat, little by little, starting from the first lessons, then the second, the third, and so on? And when you were chewing the first and you swallowed it, and it flowed like blood in your soul, I prepared for you the second lesson, and my will formed the first acts of life in you. And I celebrated its glory and fulfilled the purpose of creation, anxiously waiting to be able to give you more sublime lessons, to fill you so much that you yourself would not know where to take from in order to repeat them. So I will do to form the kingdoms of my divine will. I will start from the first lessons that I have given you. And this is why I want that they begin to be known, that they may make their way, preparing and disposing souls, so that, little by little, they may yearn to listen to more lessons, to view of the great good they have received from the first ones. This is why I have prepared lessons so long about my will. because it encloses the primary purpose for which man was created, as well as all things, and the very life that man must carry out in it. So without my will, it is as if man did not have true life, but a life almost foreign to him, and therefore full of dangers, of unhappiness, and of miseries. Poor man, without the life of my will, it would have been better for him if he had never been born. But to his great misfortune, he does not even know his true life, because until now, there has been no one who has broken the true bread of its knowledges so as to form pure blood and allow its true life to grow in the creature. They have broken for him a stale, medicated bread that, if it had not made him die, has not let him grow healthy, vigorous, and strong of a divine strength, as the bread of my will makes one grow. My will is life and has the virtue of giving its life. It is light and dispels darkness. It is immense and takes man from all sides to give him strength, happiness, sanctity, in such a way that everything is safe around him. Ah, you do not know what treasures of grace these knowledges conceal, what good they will bring to creatures, and this is why you do not have interest that they begin to make their way to give start to forming the kingdom of my will.
Now we know why Jesus was so, in the beginning, had so much information, and we're anxious. We want to know the divine will. We want to be in the divine will, and that's only natural for us. But we need to hear Jesus giving us these instructions, because he knows how valuable it is. And if we don't follow his instructions and we want to go too fast, we end up saying, I don't know, I just don't get it. You know, so he knows what we need to do. He's the boss, and he's perfect. So we've got to remember to follow his, and that's why he made us go through, but that's true. He made us hear all these little teachings that we thought we want to get to the meat of things. You know, we want to know, because we're Americans and we're used to it, and we're used to getting what we want right away. Well, he slows us down a little here, because it's so valuable for us to get all these little teachings that he gives us. He's preparing us for the whole 36 volumes so we can accept them and understand them. And that's why he wants us to understand what he says, sip by sip, little by little. And we don't get used to little by little. We're used to getting it right away. And he slows down and get it right. So that's what I got out of that. I say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Deacon. April 12th, 1928. Analogy between Eden and Calvary. The kingdom cannot be formed with one act alone. Necessity of the death and resurrection of our Lord. I was doing my rounds in the divine fiat, and I accompanied my sweet Jesus in the pains of his passion, following him to Calvary. My poor mind paused to think about the harrowing pains of Jesus on the cross, and he moved in my interior. And moving in my interior told me, my daughter, Calvary is the new Eden in which mankind was given back that which it lost by withdrawing from my will. Analogy between Calvary and Eden. In Eden, man lost grace. On Calvary, he acquires it. In Eden, heaven was closed to him. He lost his happiness and rendered himself the slave of the infernal enemy. Here, in the new Eden, heaven was opened. And was opened once again to him. He reacquires the lost peace and happiness. The devil is chained while man is freed from his slavery.
in Eden, the sun of the divine fiat, darkened, and it became always nighttime for man, symbol of the sun, which withdrew from the face of the earth during the 3 hours of my terrible agony on the cross. Unable to sustain the torment of his creator caused by the human will, which, with great perfidy, had reduced my humanity to that state. Horrified, the sun withdrew, and I breathed my last. It reappeared once again and continued its course of light. In the same way, the sun of my fiat, my pains, my death, called back the sun of my will to reign in the midst of creatures. Therefore, Calvary formed the dawn, which called the sun of my eternal will to shine once again in the midst of creatures. Dawn means certainty that the sun will come out. In the same way, the dawn which I formed on Calvary assures, even though some 2,000 years have passed, that it will call the sun of my will to reign once again in the midst of creatures. In Eden, my love was defeated by them. Here, instead, it triumphs and conquers the creature. In the first Eden, man receives the condemnation to death of soul and body, while in the second Eden, he is released from its condemnation, and the resurrection of the body is reconfirmed through the resurrection of my humanity. There are many relations between Eden and Calvary. That which man lost there, he reacquires here. In the kingdom of my pains, everything is given back, and the honor and the glory of the poor creature is reconfirmed by means of my pains and of my death. By withdrawing from my will, man formed the kingdom of his evils, of his weaknesses, passions, and miseries, and I wanted to come upon earth. I wanted to suffer greatly. I permitted that my humanity be lacerated, its flesh torn to pieces, all full of wounds, and I wanted even to die in order to form, by means of my many pains and of my death, the kingdom opposite to the many evils that the creatures had formed for herself. A kingdom cannot be formed with one act alone, but with many upon many acts. And the more the acts, the greater and more glorious the kingdom becomes. Therefore, my death was necessary to my love. With my death, I was able to give the kiss of life to creatures, and from many wounds, I was to let all goods out in order to form the kingdom of goods for creatures. So my wounds are springs which gush with goods, and my death is spring from which life for all gushes forth. And just as my death was necessary, so was my resurrection necessary to my love, because by doing his will, man lost the life of my will, and I wanted to rise again to form not only the resurrection of the body, but the resurrection of the life of my will in it. Had I not risen again, the creature could not have risen once again in my fiat. She would have lacked the virtue, the bond of her resurrection in mine, and my love would have felt incomplete. It would have felt it could not do something more, but it was not doing it. And so I would have remained with the harsh martyrdom of a love that is not complete. If then ungrateful, man does not make use of all that I have done. The evil is all his own, but my love possesses and enjoys its full triumph.
I think we have time for one more. Could everyone check their mute buttons, please? Thanks.
April 16th, 1928. The human will is symbolized by a rotten seed. How the divine will has the virtue of restoring the original life of that seed. Divine echo in the midst of creatures. I was thinking about the holy divine volition, and a thousand thoughts wandered through my head, especially, how can its kingdom come? How will creatures be able to receive a good so great and rise so high so as to enter into that fiat from which creation came out? But while I was thinking of this and other things, my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, my will has the virtue of purifying, clearing up, embellishing, and changing nature itself. The human will is like a seed which is rotten inside, while on the outside it appears to be good. The clothing that covers the seed seems to be in good conditions. But if the clothing is removed, one finds that the seed is in some half putrefied, in some empty. Others then, while the seed possesses life, do not expose it to the sun or to the wind, and so it will end up rotting completely. But if it is exposed to the sun and to the wind, through light, heat, and wind, they will rip the rotten part off and will purify it and give it new life. Such is the human will, a rotten seed full of smoke, of rot, of half putrefied and half putrefied. However, not all seeds are completely dead. Some have a thread of life, and if these seeds which possess this thread of life are exposed to the sun, my divine will, its light, its heat, and its penetrating and ruling wind will invest the seed of human will, and the light and heat will clear up the seed, removing what is rotten. They will fill it with life, and the ruling wind of my fiat will play with it, raising it so high as to enclose in it that fiat from which it came out. And with its virtue, it will change the nature of the seed, giving it its original life. Everything is in exposing oneself to the sun of my will and to the burning and refulgent rays of its knowledges. Letting oneself be invested by them, caressed by its light, warmed by its heat, carried by the empire of its wind, so that the kingdom of my will may come upon earth. See, these prerogatives are present also in the natural order. If one feels a heavy and oppressive air, a wind is enough to empty the air of that weight, and to breathe it as pure air. If one feels an excessive heat or a numbing cold, a wind is enough to mitigate that heat and another wind to mitigate that cold. If thick clouds cover the horizon, the wind and the sun are enough to dispel the clouds and make the azure sky appear more beautiful. If a field is about to rot because of continuous waters, a strong wind is enough to dry it, and the light and heat of the sun are enough to revive it again. If nature can do this and made by the power of my will, more so can my will do it over souls who let themselves be invested by it. With its heat, my will mold them anew. It will destroy what is rotten in them, and breathing over them, with its light, it will empty them of the weight of the human will, giving them their original nature. When Adam sinned, corrupting the seed of his will, if my will had not withdrawn from him, its light and heat could have restored him immediately. But justice demanded that he feel the effects of his corrupted seed, and therefore as my will withdrew, he felt no more light or heat in his soul, so as to be able to be restored to maintain the seed of his will incorrupt. Isn't this perhaps the kingdom of my will? It's yearning to return once again into the midst of creatures, and more than sun, remove the corruption from their seeds, to be able to reign, dominate in the midst of the human family. After this, I continued to think about the supreme fiat, and my lovable Jesus added, my daughter, as the divine will pronounced in the fiat in creation, it formed the echo. As it resounded in the empty space of the whole universe, this divine echo drew and carried all of our qualities with itself, and it filled heaven and earth with our love. As it came out of our fiat, this echo created the most beautiful things, heavens, suns, winds, seas, many other things. This echo remained in each created thing, and it maintains the life of the azure heaven with all the stars, the life of the sun, and continuing with its echo of light and heat. It preserves it full of light, whole and beautiful, just as it created it. So, each created thing has the echo of our fiat as its beginning and preservation. This is why they preserve the order, the power, the harmony, the magnificence, the might of our words. Whenever the divinity wants to operate and even reproduce our very life, our fiat forms the echo, and the echo creates, forms whatever we want. See, also in instituting the sacrament of the Eucharist, our fiat formed the echo. The echo invested the bread and the wine, and formed in them my body, blood, soul, and divinity. That echo will resound, that echo still resounds in each host, and so my sacramental life is perpetuated continuously. Now this echo resounded in the creation of man, but by withdrawing from our will, man lost this echo. He no longer felt inside and outside of himself his sweet, powerful, harmonizing sound, which had the virtue of preserving him just as he came out of our creative hands. So he became weak, disharmonized. Poor man, without the echo of our fiat, which had given him life, he was no longer able to render himself, he was no longer able to reorder himself. He no longer felt within himself the echo of the light of his creator, the echo of love, the echo of order, of power, of wisdom, of divine sweetness and goodness. Without the echo of our fiat, man became like a child who grows without mama, who has no one to feed him with the words, to reach him, to teach him works and steps, or like a pupil who has no teacher to teach him how to read and write. If he does anything at all by himself, he will do it disordered. Such is man without the echo of our fiat, like a child without a mama, like a pupil without teacher. Now, as the soul keeps calling my will as the beginning of all her being, she will feel its divine echo. This echo will call her back to her beginning, and resounding in her, it will reorder her anew. And just as our echo retreated from man because he withdrew from our divine will, in the same way, as creatures recognize it, love it, and want nothing but our divine fiat, the echo of our will return into the midst of creatures. The kingdom of our fiat is precisely this, the return of our divine echo, not the faraway echo which has often resounded to the, hearing of man from the time he withdrew from our will, but the continuous echo which will resound in the depth of souls, transforming them. It will form divine life in them, giving back to them the order of the way in which man had been created.
Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedict Alphos Omnipotens Deus Pater et Filii Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Fiat.
Good weekend, everyone. Thank you, Deacon. Terry, have a great weekend at the conference. Pray for those who are making the conference up in Rhode Island. They may safely return to us. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. I'll hold you all up in prayer.
Have a blessed weekend.
Thank you. God bless you all.